Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp. They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a true crime podcast, as the title suggests. So please consider this your warning that it's not suitable for children, and it probably will contain content that may be triggering to some people. Also, it's an Australian true crime podcast, so Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners should be aware it may contain the voices of deceased people.
The producers of this podcast recognise the traditional owners of the land on which it's recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal elders past, present and those emerging.
Our guest today on Australian True Crime is Aman Abrimzadeh. He's a successful businessman from Adelaide, a member of that city's council, and a member of the Order of Australia. Aman's a father, a husband, and a brother, and he's an ambassador for Our Watch. Aman is a high achiever by anyone's standards, except possibly those of his own father. As you'll come to learn, Aman grew up in a home ruled by fear. And I must warn you that this will likely be a triggering conversation for anyone with experience of family violence. Aman's storytelling is vivid, and as much as every family is different, he manages to capture so many ways in which his family's story is all too common. It's a stark warning to every one of us. This is a two-part special, and we begin this first part by talking about the background of Aman's family and dispelling a few misconceptions I had about their culture.
As soon as we got out of the country, we made a kind of a slow transition because we left Iran. We came over to Malaysia. We stayed in Kuala Lumpur for, I think, about 4 or 5 days. Malaysia is an Islamic country, but they don't necessarily have those laws in place where women have to cover their hair. It's optional for them. And so, my mum coming out of Iran thought, this is relaxed. So I think she went, and I remember this, she went through a bit of a phase in Malaysia where she lifted her scarf off of her head and it was essentially resting on her shoulders. So it was really covering her shoulders and the back of her hair. And that was for a few days. And then once we came over to Adelaide, the scarf completely came off. And I thought, that's actually a nice way to transition out of it.
How did your dad cope with this change in culture and with his wife, you know, taking the scarf off within days?
Because he wasn't religious, he didn't have any sort of, you know, comment or feedback on it.
So what I was trying to get at is, did your dad, because we're heading towards a place where your dad became violent, mm-hmm. did he become violent? Was it always a factor in your family, or was it the cultural differences that freaked him out? How did this come about?
No, my dad was always violent, regardless of where we were. You know, my earliest childhood memories are violent ones. The way he thought the family worked was, I can probably best explain it if I refer to an organizational chart where you essentially have the CEO at the very top and then you have everyone else underneath them. That's how my dad ran the family home.
Tell us about how that manifested, how that looked on a daily basis. And was he a disciplinarian with your mum as well?
So everyone got disciplined at home. That's the way things went. And it could be anything. It could be a bad report card. If my mum talked back, if she stood up for herself, if she said anything, it would usually end up with my dad yelling at her, or depending on the argument, the tension would essentially build, and that tension would only break when my dad would physically abuse my mum. Yeah, it was only until my teenage years that I started to, as my dad described it, I started to interfere when they would have fights. When I was maybe about 13 or 14, I started to outgrow my dad, so I was taller than him. And that's when I started to sort of realize that what was happening at home isn't the normal thing. And so I would essentially stand between my parents and I would try and stop my dad from hitting my mum. We got to a point where this violence was sort of happening on a daily basis at home. There was always a fight or an argument happening in the family home. And we got to a point where an argument broke out. And I remember this, that night I was sleeping in my bedroom. And my bedroom back then, and I loved my bedroom there because it was essentially a detached rumpus room from the house. So I had my own space and out in the backyard. It was probably a good 10 or so meters away from the back of the house where the family room was. And I remember running to the sliding door and I opened the door and my mum was trying to talk to me. But as she was talking to me, she was running back to the house. She was running back to the living room. And then by that time, I thought, obviously an argument's broken out, they're fighting. So I essentially kicked into the protective son mode. So I essentially ran into the family room and I saw my dad, who sort of had my older sister by her hair, and he was slapping her around. So I walked into that, and then once my dad saw my mum, he sort of threw my sister to the side and started to walk over. So then I started to stopping him, essentially pushing him away and talking to him and keeping my mum behind me, keeping an eye on my sister to make sure that she's okay. And things got to a point where he essentially said, I've had enough. And he ran over to the kitchen and I followed him into the kitchen and he was going for the drawers where the knives were kept. So I stepped in between him and the drawers. By then, my older sister had gotten off the floor and she was in the kitchen. And it was essentially me and my older sister wrestling my dad away from where the knives were kept. We got him out of the kitchen, and we essentially made sure he's in a corner in the living room where he couldn't arm himself with anything. And when he saw that he was outnumbered and overpowered, he said, "You can't watch me 24/7. When you least expect it, I'm going to lock you all in this house and I'm going to burn the house down." So just imagine the person that you look up to, the person who's a role model, the person that's supposed to love you, care for you, says something along those lines. The image that I had of my dad built up in my head shattered at that point, because I said, there's no way a father would say that. And that was back then when I was 21 years old. If I remember correctly, the incident happened on a Saturday night. We as a family kind of had a bit of an approach and a bit of a policy that no one is to be left alone with my dad. Not me, not any of my sisters, not my mum. And we knew that my dad was going to go to work on Monday. So he did. And that's when we started to sit down and essentially plan. And we said, right, we've got options here. We can either stay here and continue this approach in terms of making sure that there are two people present at all times when my dad is around, or we can get the hell out of here. And that's what we decided to do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
We got that to work. So we got 4 little bags ready. When I say little bags, it's the travel bag, the carry-on that you can take into the plane with you, because we knew that we had to have enough room in the car for 4 bags. So it's not like we could, you know, pack big piece of luggage. So it's 4 little bags. We chucked some clothes and, you know, personal belongings in there. And that was it. We chucked it all in the car and we said goodbye to the family home, because we knew that once we leave the family home, there is no way we're coming back. And that was a very sad thing. Yeah. Once we left that family home, we went to the police station to report everything. We reported everything. And then from there, we sort of sat down and we thought, oh, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go?
Yeah, did you have family to go to or friends to go to?
No. So we, all the family is on my dad's side, and we knew that my dad's family were going to be on his side. So we didn't approach anyone there. We had some family friends, but because family friends were all mutual friends, we didn't really feel comfortable approaching them. All these challenges started to appear, these sorts of things that we didn't really think through, just because we didn't know that they were going to appear and we had no idea what to expect when we fled our family home. But once we left the police station, our family car became the family home. So homelessness was one thing. From there on, the challenges started to come out, because we realized, oh, what are we going to do for money? We were financially dependent on my dad. I was at uni. My older sister was at uni. My younger sister was 11 years old. She was in primary school. My mum spoke broken English and she didn't have a job. So, in terms of finances, well, what do we do? You know, now that I look at it, we're overwhelmed. And for someone that had never navigated the system, you just don't know where to start. So chances are there would have been assistance and there would have been services out there, but because of the lack of knowledge and also because of the lack of awareness as well. Back in 2009, we weren't talking about family and domestic violence. So because of a number of reasons, we fell through the gaps, but there was a safety net there which caught us, and that was the domestic violence service that we were put in touch with.
After a couple of days. So did the four of you sleep in the car?
Yes, yeah.
Oh my goodness. And you're adults. It's not like your mum and three little kids. It's three adults and one child sleeping in the car with your four bags.
Well, I guess for us, one of the things, that we were very, very thankful for was we were put in a motel.
Yes, I should think so.
Yeah. And I remember, I think we stayed in a motel for a couple of weeks until a safe house could be found and we were allocated to that property. We were in that safe house for probably 4 months. That was the best 4 months that we had as a family. It was the best thing because you didn't have any arguments and fights to worry about. You didn't have to be walking on eggshells, watching over your shoulder, being mindful of who you're talking to and what you're saying. So we essentially got to a point where we got out of the safe house. We went into a private rental. And again, that felt great because all of a sudden we were in a new place and we were, we felt safe and we knew that no one knew where we were living and we carried on with life. When we were in the private rental, we could kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. And my mum was working. I was finishing my university and I'll probably get a full-time job. My older sister was in the same position. We were going through family court and at that time we were probably maybe a year or two out from having the property settlement matter finalized so we could get a small amount of money from the family home that we once lived in. You could say we were dreaming, it was things were very, very slowly happening, things in our favor, which was great. And I guess, we sort of got to a point where we felt comfortable enough to do some normal things. Came a time in March 2010 when my mum was telling me that there's a New Year event happening and her birthday happens to be on the 21st of March, which is the Persian New Year as well. And on this occasion, she said she's going to attend the Persian New Year function. It was going to be a big deal. There's like 300 guests in a big room, lots of people. But I guess the other thing that we sort of thought about was that if we go there, what's the safety net for us? So we've started to scenario plan a little bit. My older sister and one of her friends and my mum were going to this event. My younger sister at the time was sick. And so I said, I'll stay home with her. She's sick, so I'll look after her while you guys go out. So we said, well, when you go there, maybe flag with a security guard. There might be a family member present, or there might be someone that might make you feel uncomfortable. Make sure at the end of the night, you ask the security guard to escort you, to your car. So we essentially sort of were scenario planning and essentially trying to make sure that we're as safe as possible and minimize any risk. Younger sister and I, we had dinner, we watched some TV. We both went to bed and I was asleep. And I think it would have been like just after 11 o'clock, I get woken up to a phone call. And it's my sister's friend. And the words that are coming out of her mouth are essentially, come down quick. Your dad has just stabbed your mum.
In the next episode of Australian True Crime, our guest, Aman Abrimzadeh, tells us what happened after the night his father stabbed his mother in front of hundreds of people at the Adelaide Exhibition Centre during the Persian New Year celebrations. If you need support after listening to this podcast, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or contact 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737 732 or 1-800-RESPECT.org.au. Indigenous Australians can contact 13 Yarn on 13 92 76 or 13yarn.org.au. Thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime. We'll be back next week.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp. They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.